What do you want? Statement of purpose? Should I email you? Should I put this on your action item list?
Look.
You decide your own level of involvement.
We are the Prepper Broadcasting Network.
You are now listening to the Patriot Power Hour, the newest show of the Prepper Broadcasting Network. This live episode features the situational awareness you need to practice self-reliance and independence. Introducing your hosts, Ben, the Breaker of Banksters, and Future Dan, the editor of FutureDanger.com.
Patriot Power Hour, we're live, we're back. As always, episode 94. It's April 28th, 2020. Thanks for joining us. Ben, the Breaker of Banksters here. I have a little bit of audio quality issues on my end, I believe, where I can't hear very well. I believe I'm broadcasting well. And my co-host, Future Dan, I believe is running at 100%. So while I troubleshoot that hot on the air, let me pass it over to you, Future Dan. While, you know, kind of the topic, while I'm trying to troubleshoot over here, how are you dealing with all this isolation? Is it starting to get on your nerves? And then, of course, what kind of big news you've been seeing lately?
Yeah, I think the news has died down a lot, actually. But across the top of the heat map tonight, you got three hot indicators and one in the background that are all linked. So I can't wait to get into that in the second half, if we can continue on the 94th episode of Patriot Power Hour. Given your technical difficulties, it will be somewhat of a challenge to have a conversation if we can't hear each other. I can hear you just fine.
Good news. I think I just fixed it. Looked like a loose connection, and I checked them all, and I knew one of these was loose. I had let's say I have a pretty complicated jerry-rigged system here, even though it's worked quite well for 94 episodes. But I got it just in time. So we're good to go on that front. Knock on wood. Anyway, gosh, what a start. It kind of feels like how my life is right now. Groundhog Day, kind of in a rut. Very thankful to have a job. I'm very thankful the economy hasn't totally collapsed yet, or that we're at war quite yet. But I feel a little stir crazy. These types of things, even with proper planning, happen, I know. But a little frazzled, but I think that's a lot of people's feeling these days.
Yeah, I never really stopped going out. So I guess it's not affecting me the same.
Okay. I've gone out about once or twice a week, but that's a lot less than, 10 plus times a week and 15-mile one-way commute 5 days a week type of thing. So you've still been going out, though.
Yeah, and obviously, I'm not a homesteader. I don't have a ranch. I've said this before. I don't live that lifestyle. Great respect for it, and grew up, on a farm. Still, my entire life, I've gone to stores. And stores are an important place for me to get what I need to live. I shop at stores. They've always been part of my life. I'm pretty sure they'll always be part of my life. Very, very few of us still live in a lifestyle where we don't go to stores, but some of us are entirely dependent upon them, and that's also probably in the back of people's minds these days is that fact. And what I wanted to tell you about is it occurred to me last time I was in a grocery store.
Okay.
That as I'm heading down the aisle, I got covering on my eyes with sunglasses, a mask, I'm wearing gloves, and usually a hat. So pretty much dressed exactly like a bank robber all the time in stores nowadays. And I'm looking around as I stop for what I need and realize that it's in the air that there could be a disease several times more lethal than the common flu that I don't want, which is why I'm covering myself. And yet I have to go to a place full of other people where it's probably the highest likely point anywhere near me that you can catch the disease, because I'm trying to get things to put into me. At the same time, there's something else trying to get into me, like it's trying to kill me while I'm trying to sustain myself from what I have to put in me at the store. If you're a homesteader and entirely independent of that system, you know, you're not thinking in those terms. Most of us aren't. But it occurred to me, and that's what it's come to, is this disease is in the air, and if you don't want to catch it, you got to protect yourself.
A lot of those things come, you know, in the last couple months, heck, just 6 weeks, really hit people across the face. And we've said it many times before, no one's really making fun of preppers anymore. And a lot of people who never even thought about prepping have started to implement some action. And those that were on the fence or maybe had done a little bit are really, you know, the type of people that we're hoping to listen to Patriot Power Hour and Prepper Broadcasting Network, because there are a lot of folks, and really I'm talking about the other hosts and you, not me. I'm an amateur prepper, in my opinion, compared to some of these folks. But if you're new to this network, new listener, or just listening to this show for the first time, go check out the archives on PBN, and not just from this past week or this past month, which is all very important COVID-related news, economic news. I was just listening to COVID Cast with James and the NBC guy and Stephen Menking just from yesterday. So that's great. Go back in the archives, listen to that. But I'm talking about going 2, 3, 6, 12 months ago and getting on some of that, where all the different bug in and bug out and even, yes, medical prepping, but other stuff were covered big time. A lot of that before we even came on board PBN. So a little plug for the network there, but on the flip side, I certainly, and I know a lot of people, and it sounds like you as well, have become a little bit of a reality check. Like, it does hit home when you're like, wow, actually, it is dangerous in the grocery store. It is in, you know, other places, or you can't go anywhere. So, definitely, I agree.
Yeah, and I've never been one to, you know, seek out large crowds on a constant basis. I'll go to concerts and large gatherings for sure, but I don't need it all the time. So since this happened in the middle of March with the economic and the stock crash, massive intervention by all arms of government to rescue and bridge the economy, and then just the exponential growth in the deaths of COVID-19, you know, what's this been? 6 weeks? And I'm holding up a lot better than, you know, people who are more socially, they need those crowds. They need to join the people. I'm sure if they're at home, they could be preppers too, but they still, you know, they enjoy being around other people.
True.
It's hard, and it's affecting me less, but I can appreciate it if it's not for others.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. A big part of being prepped is mental, and sometimes it's hard to know how prepped you are without having to actually go through a true live fire exercise, right? You might have all the food, water, security. You might have family that's supportive and the skills, you know, medical first aid skills, whatever. You might have all that, but what if you know, can you handle being isolated for several months? You know, this is really just the start too. Even though it seems like forever, it's only been 6, 7 weeks. Right before this stuff happened, you and I were talking about the phases or the kind of DEFCONs of preparedness, right? And we were looking at 6+ month scenarios. So we're not even close to that yet.
Yeah, and still you've been able to go to stores. We haven't seen
food. Yeah, exactly. Choices, great point.
Medicine choice. It's not warranting, you know, full-blown crisis. A lot of the indicators heated up as black on red for sure in March and continue, but it's going to take more than that to go into that 30-day you can't get stuff anywhere else besides your stockpile. We didn't get that close this time, but it's probably a foreshadow of what could come.
It was like a shock to the system. And we're not saying that that's not coming down the pike, whether that means kind of a second wave or some other disaster that piles on top of this. Even if it's a regional disaster, think of what could happen kind of piled on top with all this. So we're heading to election cycle, obviously. We'll be talking about that. We're going to go into the news blitz here, but we're getting really close to November, even though it doesn't seem like it. The countdown is on. This was a black swan event. You think anything else is coming down the pike like this? What? And we'll talk about it more of our opinion in the second half of the show. But politically, will it all be about COVID, or what else could they be focusing on coming in the next 6 months?
Who knows? 6 months is a long ways away. Yeah. 6 months ago, all you knew about was Trump impeachment, and it's not something anybody can think right about right now. Anything could happen, but I'm not sure that the rug could be pulled out underneath the carpet at this point without it being pretty clear who you could point the finger at. So I don't know if, you know, the forces opposed to Trump right now have that card to play. It might take something even worse in another dimension to really do another black swan.
Yeah. All right, folks, we'll be right back with the news blitz. Stick with us. Patriot Power Hour, episode 94. Like love, we'll be right back. But a gusworks wall. Dream the dream by the old canal.
Of the Prepper Broadcasting Network.
This is a special announcement from the Prepper Broadcasting Network. Contact us now for preparedness consultation. We use a network of professionals to build your base of essential preparedness. Let us put you in touch with those professionals in emergency response planning, first aid and medicine, security tactics and training, gunsmithing, food safety, and community organizing. Our experts cover homesteading to bushcraft and everything in between. Build a real emergency response plan for your family or business. Create a written contingency plan complete with drills, guides, and annual goals. Customize your strategy to threats you face today. PBN experts can write your plan to address the 6 categories of base level preparedness. We will discuss how to meet each need within your budget. Create an effective bug out plan. There is a lot to the bug out. If you are truly going to evacuate in an emergency, let's talk about it. Go deep and build out your prepping dreams. Have you tackled the basics? Take it to the next level with tactical and investment advice from our subject matter experts. Let's set up that initial consult and get your preparedness goals met. Go to prepperbroadcasting.com/preparedness-consultation. Affordable preparedness consulting starts with a $50 initial consult. This is the Prepper Broadcasting Network, building self-reliance and independence across the nation.
To oppose tyranny and fight for the rights our Creator bestowed us in the United States Constitution. We are the Prepper Broadcasting Network.
Who wouldn't publish it?
I got it. Well, what am I supposed to do? You want to write a piece called We're All Fucked?
Yes! That's a perfect title!
Casey, right now, every bank in town is unloading these shit bonds onto unsuspecting customers, and they won't devalue them until they get them off their books. This level of criminality is unprecedented, even on fucking Wall Street.
Jamie, this is me being honest here, okay? It took me years to build my relationships on Wall Street. No bank or ratings agency is going to confirm a story like this just because it comes from two guys in a, sorry, garage band hedge fund that thinks it's the apocalypse.
Wow. I thought you were for real, Casey. You know, I have to say, I really did.
Really? Yeah, Jamie, you try being for real with a 3-year-old and a wife getting her master's degree. Look, I'm not going to burn my reputation on your wild hunch.
Achieve situational awareness of multiple threat indicators in one view. Be prepared. FutureDanger.com.
Patriot Power Hour. Head into the news blitz. Follow along. Future FutureDanger.com. Again, FutureDanger.com, the cornerstone of the Patriot Power Hour. Again, some of this news. First column, Liberty Freedom-based column. Twitter is blocking virus 5G tweets. The WHO deletes a tweet about COVID-19 reinfection as, quote, the immunity passports debate rises. YouTube censoring viral video of doctors criticizing quarantine. Seeing that YouTube is demonetizing videos that are, quote, conspiracy theories as well. Federal judge allowing a citywide warrantless aerial mass surveillance. Just pushing that narrative, pushing that envelope. Police break up a 100-person Amish party for violating quarantine order. So that's what we're seeing on the Freedom Liberty front this last few days. Let's go to the second column, geopolitical column. War with China starts. Some stuff's getting a little rough out there, a little testy. Them fight words. Communist Chinese government calls the U.S. Secretary of State an enemy of world peace. Chinese warns the U.S. to halt military operations in South China Sea. Their puppet regime, North Korea, trending alert. North Korean capital, Pyongyang, reportedly locked down. Not for COVID, or is it? We're not sure, but it is. And the POTUS admits that we're not sure exactly what's going on with the dictator, with the boy dictator. There's rumors of him dying, rumors of him being isolated, rumors of all types of things. But several articles, if you want to go check out those rumors, feature danger, few of them. We'll find out. We got some more here. The Korean War restarting. Oh, excuse me. I thought there's one more there, but let's move on to this. Biotax anticipated. Pentagon and intelligence community probe the threat of a coronavirus bioweapon. We've been talking about that for a minute here on Patriot Power Hour. Fourth column. Always leave the third column, the economic, till the end. So skip to the fourth, which has been very hot lately. The natural / health, and really now the COVID pandemic column. Labs lose control of pathogens. Secretary of State is saying that the world must have access to the Chinese labs to determine the source of coronavirus. No wonder they're calling him the enemy of world peace. Western intelligence keeping close watch on the Wuhan lab bat coronavirus scientists. You know, Zero Hedge was talking about him long ago. So not just Zero Hedge, but I remember specifically remember seeing him months ago. And now it's big news. Go check this out. If you're going to see one article, I think, that's the one you might want to look into. If there's one article you're taking away tonight, go check that out. I want to discuss that with Future Dan here later on. Pestilence befalls. We're seeing the counts continue to increase pretty quickly. We're at more than 53,000 deaths in America. That's more than die from automobile accidents per year. But still, not even twice that. So, give that for what it's worth. A lot of people die in automobiles, accidents. It's tragic, but people still drive cars. But hey, I won't pontificate further for now. Lab tests severely delayed. COVID-19 testing remains scarce. And we're not just all COVID here. You can go check out the weekly volcanic activity report. That's on Future Danger. You can go check out an article about Google scientists creating artificial intelligence that's evolving on its own. You know, COVID may go away, but artificial intelligence is not. Let's go to the third and final column, and I'll bring in Future Dan here in just 1 second. Unemployment explodes. We're seeing 4.4 million jobless claims. Still deep in the red zone, and this is not a good red zone. This is the critical panic zone. More than 20 million. I bet by once they fully account for the end of April, and this is April 28th today, so once the numbers finally catch up, I bet 30 million will have been unemployed due to coronavirus by May 1st equivalent. So we're seeing unbelievable unemployment. We're also seeing risky banking. Credit cards are lowering their limits. Millions of credit card customers can't pay their bills. Lenders bracing for impact. Student loans as well. Autos, all types. Food shortages are starting to develop. Meatpacking plants closing. Chicken plants scramble to slow outbreaks of coronavirus. Factory orders are plunging 14.4%. Yeah, I'm sure that's just the very beginning of the data catching up to reality. Like I said, much higher than that, I think. We'll see how things look in about a month from now when they're looking back on late April. COVID-19 disrupting 30% of Americans' jobs or finances. Federal government defaulting. Federal government will sell $4 trillion in debt this year, 300% increase. And the Congressional Budget Office projects a $3.7 trillion deficit. With all that said, let me bring on Future Dan. See what he's got to say. Future Dan, what are you thinking?
I'm thinking that sometimes when I hear you do the heat map, if any of these terrible things come to pass, we're going to have great sound bites of how you called it. You're going to sound pretty smart in 10, 20 years if we do default.
Well, that's not a good thing, but I guess it's a silver lining. Give all credit where credit's due, though, because you're the one curating this news, so all props to you. I absolutely hope, you know, most, if not all, of this doesn't come to pass, worst case scenario, but
some of them will.
Some of them will. That's exactly true.
Yeah. Hopefully not the worst ones, but there'll be others. And we got clips from last August, September timeframe, of us talking about an economic crisis, a stock market crash, treasury rates going negative. So some of that's already been built up in the archives.
It's been kind of simmering there, right? Getting some like aged whiskey. Once they started to lower interest rates, and again, this is back last September, I knew the jig was up. I knew that the system would never be able to get out of all the debt that was created in 2008. Again, this is 10 years ago, the original crisis. We were screwed then, but now with what's going on now, it's just a matter of time. So it's not prophecy, though. It's just trying to think critically and gathering the news available to us, right? I mean, we're not trying to say we can predict everything.
No, but we're paying attention to it early. And that's why we're on Prepper Broadcasting Network. This news isn't analyzed from the perspective of, you know, who said what about who this week and drive by and go on to some other political row. You know, we're not doing that. We're looking at the stuff that could lead to the reason you prep.
Yep. And that's kind of that concept of information liquidity or information preparedness and ability to adapt. And we're going to get into that, you know. We're coming up on episode 100. I got a lot of good ideas for that. But what I'm trying to say here is we're fans of preppers. I consider myself a prepper. I think you do as well. But our niche here at PBN is kind of that information awareness and looking 2, 3, 4 steps ahead. I'm not saying we're a news show. We do a lot of analysis and original thought and commentary and stuff, but you got to look at the news. You can't just bury your head in the sand.
Right, right. So that's the flavor we give the network, and I'm proud to be part of it. It seems like this crisis is cooling. Those job numbers when they arrive are certainly not going to look good, but I don't know. They might open up the economy here in a few weeks. And then it's really a real laboratory experiment, isn't it, Ben? If the economy grows in the third quarter or the fourth quarter or even holds steady and comes back, then this is a real unique moment in history where this was tried. And, you know, there's going to be arguments whether it worked or not, but it won't be immediately apparent that it failed is one scenario.
Yes. And, you know, we're coming up on break. I'm going to hit that right when we get back because I can talk about that for hours. I'm going to lay out a couple scenarios, kind of optimistic scenario first, that mid-range scenario, and that worst-case scenario. So let me try to answer that question you just had, or what kind of your comment there, in that way. Until then, stick with us, guys and gals. I'm going to break. Got some sponsors to check out. Stick with us. Patriot Power Hour. No need to fight. Never a frown with
Golden Brown. We are the Prepper Broadcasting Network.
Hold on. Stop the music. Are you supporting us on Patreon? Do you know that we are doing patron-only podcasts, videos, preparedness plans, incredible tools like our master preparedness schedule, all available at Patreon for $2 a month. $2. You've got that in your couch cushions. Not only that, that money goes to pay the bills for the network. We release ebooks from the hosts for free to our patrons. It's a tremendous opportunity. Not only is it a great value for $2 a month, but it makes a world of a difference for us. It pays the bills, to be frank. So support the network. Check us out at patreon.com/PBN. That's patreon.com/PBN. $2 a month. patreon.com/PBN.
To oppose tyranny and fight for the rights our Creator bestowed us in the United States Constitution. We are the Prepper Broadcasting Network.
Whatever possessed God in heaven to make a man like Rambo?
God didn't make Rambo. I made him.
Who the hell are you?
Sam Trotman. Colonel Samuel Trotman.
Look, we're a little busy this morning, Colonel. What can I do for you?
I've come to get my boy.
Your boy?
I recruited him. I trained him. I commanded him in Vietnam for 3 years. I'd say that makes him mine.
I wonder why the Pentagon would send a full-bird colonel down here to handle this.
The Army thought I might be able to help.
Well, I don't know in what way. Rambo's a civilian now. He's my problem.
I don't think you understand. I didn't come here to rescue Rambo from you. I came here to rescue you from him.
Well, we all appreciate your concern, Colonel. And we'll try to be extra careful.
I'm just amazed that he allowed any of your posse to live.
Is that right?
Strictly speaking, he slipped up. You're lucky to be breathing.
That's just great. Colonel, you came out here to find out why one of your machines blew a gasket.
You don't seem to want to accept the fact that you're dealing with an expert in guerrilla warfare. With a man who's the best. With guns, with knives, with his bare hands. A man who's been trained to ignore pain. Ignore weather. To live off the land. To eat things that'll make a billy goat puke. In Vietnam, his job was to dispose of enemy personnel. To kill. Period. Win by attrition. Well, Rambo was the best.
Achieve situational awareness of multiple threat indicators in one view. Be prepared. FutureDanger.com.
All right, we're back. Ben the Breaker of Bankster's Cochran. Follow me on Twitter at Bankster Breaker. Send me an email. And I'm not doing a contest today, but guess what? Going to be doing another contest next week. So be ready. I did just send out 1 ounce of 99.99% silver to a contest winner the other day. No contest today, but we're going. To throwinthebanksters at gmail.com. Reach out to me. Future Dan, bringing you on air. How can folks reach out to you? And what are you thinking about these days there on social media?
Yeah, just search Future Danger, one word, on Twitter. You'll find all the feeds. Or at FutureDanger.com, you know, browse column 4, find the link to send an email.
Yep.
And what was the additional part of your question?
I focused on
multidimensional.
No worries. Guess what? I'm glad you brought that up, because I forgot half of what I said because I was focusing on what you said, and that was the different feeds of Future Danger. So I know I heard on the CoronaCast, James, the Intrepid Commander, say he doesn't really use Twitter. I use it a little bit, but not as much as I should. But I know you're big on Twitter, and you have all these different feeds. Can you explain that so some of our listeners that do have Twitter and want to get your updates directly to their Twitter feed, what's that all about?
Basically, there's different lists in Twitter. So you can make a list. You go pick accounts and put them on a customized list. And in order to, you know, focus the types of news on Future Danger into a little bit narrower soda straws, little other categories besides the four columns.
Okay.
There's like 12 feeds. And check them out. They got, you know, descriptions. So if you care about the geopolitical to the exclusion of some of the other stuff, you could do that. Or the, you know, things related to health, you could do that.
Yeah, no, it's really cool. I subscribe to all of them, obviously. It's like war, plague, terror. Like you said, there's 12 of them, I suppose. It seems like there's more, but they're really a neat way to categorize this information. And sometimes it seems like there's just so much going on, it's hard to really know what's going on. Really sort it. And this kind of sorts it for you, I guess.
It's just the news pushing out on different feeds at some kind of interval that, you know, but the less news there is, the more spammy it gets, admittedly. So, like, at the height of the crisis, these different accounts were cranking out, you know, a lot of different unique headlines right off of the heat map out into social media. And then they push from there to Facebook if you want to find it there.
Okay, absolutely. So, I mean, there's so many ways nowadays to reach people and have folks get back to us too. So I look forward to the feedback. I've gotten feedback from folks, not just from the contest, but just in general with some questions or thoughts about the show. I loved it. So we definitely encourage that. Once this pandemic is over, we're going to get some guests on the show. Looking forward to that. It's probably one of the favorite, you know, one of the things I'm really looking forward to getting this quarantine over with. But anyway.
Hey,
go ahead.
Our winner of the last contest.
Yeah.
He shot us an email. Did you see those silver pieces that he sent the link to?
Yeah.
They're like a pre-formatted sheet and you could snap them off. That was pretty unique. Do you remember what those were all about?
No, like you said, it's essentially a bar of silver that's, I think of it almost pre-cut, right? And so you can kind of break off part of that. So you can carry it all in one lump sum, but as you need to spend it, need to barter with it, whatever, it's easy to break off like a Hershey bar, I guess, right?
Yeah, and each piece was like told you, you know, its weight and where it was minted. I thought that was really neat. That was from our last winner. Maybe next week we'll have another winner that has some unique ideas on the subject matter too. Last winner had to, you know, give us a rationale on a question that was posed to him during the show. So, you know, listening to this episode throughout probably lead to success at answering that question next week.
Yeah, great idea. Maybe during the final break before end of the show, I'll have to plant a little question for dedicated listeners and they can use that next episode to apply for the win. I mean, listen, this is a legit prize. I mean, he got 1 ounce of silver. That's worth more than $20 right now. Even though the paper price is $15, you won't find it for less than $22, $23, $25 on eBay and other places. So, you know, this is a pretty good contest. We might have to make it a little harder this time.
Yeah. So I saw a news report today, which might lead to, you know, topics that are part of contests. Did you catch the article, Ben, about how Congress, in its most recent legislation that changed the Fed's mandate and what it's able to do, has set terms and conditions that weren't there before? I thought it was quite interesting. That was out of Yahoo.
Well, I know a lot has changed with the Fed. I haven't even tried to process it all yet because I still think it's a fluid situation. They're just adding so much to it. I know that they can buy municipal bonds. I know that they can buy pretty much every type of debt instrument out there, but what do you mean in terms of this change in terms and conditions?
Well, let me read some of this article to you.
All right.
When Congress gave the Federal Reserve $750 billion in emergency firepower to backstop the country's biggest companies 6 weeks ago, they hung on to a clause that now threatens to undermine the whole program, or so Bloomberg writes. Bloomberg published this on Yahoo.
Okay.
This is Bloomberg's perspective. Under the stimulus bill passed last month, the central bank is wading into corporate credit markets for the first time since the 1950s, says the article. And I wasn't aware it happened in the 50s, so we're going to have to go check on that. One Fed facility will lend directly to companies, with, and another is can buy bonds in the secondary market. But the legislation imposed a key condition. Only a borrower with, quote, significant operations in and a majority of its employees based in the United States is eligible for Fed support. The Bloomberg article goes on to quote all these chief executive officers of some Wall Street firm, or, you know, some, you know, staffer in Congress or whatnot, about the confusion that the law provides, the headache that it provides the Fed, the obstacles it provides the Fed from, you know, using that authorization for $750 billion of buying private bonds, because companies like Coca-Cola and General Electric and MasterCard mostly have most of their employees overseas. And I read this and I thought immediately, the multinational corporations get no protection by the law, and quite clearly that's on purpose. Don't you get it?
Well, I mean, that's putting lipstick on a pig, I suppose. We'll see, first off, if that actually takes place, if those type of companies don't get mad bailouts as much as they want. I suspect they will. Would be interested in the background of that. Who put that in there? Who insisted it? I mean, that wasn't left in there on accident. So that's
what's well, what
very
really matters is who has standing to bring suit. Who can when and if the Fed does provide any kind of bond buying of one of these multinationals, who can actually sue to stop them? And will the Fed be afraid of being sued, which I think it's been immune to pretty much thus far, and not go ahead and do this? And if they don't, will this be some kind of red herring for a deterioration? And I know you wanted to get into three outcomes, you know, high side, middle, and the catastrophic road. This might be on one of those three roads, maybe the middle or the lower one, as a point of, a defense the Fed has. Well, we couldn't use the program because of that.
Oh, so you're thinking it's kind of like self-sabotage to make people like me look bad, right? Like, oh, well, we couldn't actually save the economy because you tried to make it America first type of policy. Is that what you're saying?
Well, the Congress put this in here, and it's another, constitutionally, I like it, because for, you know, pretty much the first time publicly, the Federal Reserve and the Treasury acted as one, because I've always said that the Federal Reserve is a creation of Congress and its executive power being exercised. In the end, central banking is executive power of your government. It's normally thought of that way everywhere else anyways. Like, think of the Bank of England. Any arguments that it's not completely aligned with the entire establishment of the state is absurd. It's the Bank of England, right? So Federal Reserve is that, and it's been operating under the White House since March, and now we're finding that Congress claimed a little bit of, its just right of, legislating terms of the law. So the Fed's getting bound up by popularly elected branches of government. That's not necessarily a bad thing, Ben.
No, I'm not saying it's a bad thing. It's just, does it actually matter? Because that's only $750 billion. Notice how I said only. I mean, the Fed is going to put out $4 to $6 trillion when all is said and done in one of the best case scenarios here. So maybe 20% of the aid and the effect of the Fed is bound up here. Okay, better than nothing. But these type of corporations are already getting massive subsidies in many ways, and through the Fed and others. But no, I mean, I guess that's a good way to say we're not powerless, and we can, while we try to, you know, we want to end the Fed, at least we can try to mitigate some damage while we fight that long fight. So no, I'm not a total pessimist, I guess.
And if they misstep, you might see some kind of public reaction where suddenly both parties are, screw it, let's audit the Fed. Maybe they ought to be audited, right?
I would hope so. I don't. Most of the population will still be stuck on talking those day-to-day politics or focusing on Potbelly or some other public company taking funds from the Treasury. See, most people still don't know the difference between the Treasury and the Fed. So I feel like most of that frustration will be focused on the Treasury. But like you said, this is a step of the Treasury and the Fed kind of working together, or at least in sync. So maybe there will be some bleed over, and this will wake some people up. Who do you think would bring suit against the Fed if this provision is broken?
The White House definitely could. So Trump has even stronger control over Jerome Powell, for sure.
If he wins, you know, in 2020, and we're not going to go down a political diatribe right now because we got to go to break here in a second, but a lot of it hinges on that, because you're absolutely right. Maybe that could happen in 2021, 2022, 2023, if there's a presence in the White House that wants to do it. It doesn't even have to be Trump, but, you know, I don't think anyone that's odds on to win right now, besides Trump, really has a chance. But you know what I mean. That's what that election could, stuff like that, can make or break. So we got like 30 seconds. What, you know, before we go, do you think Trump would actually take this type of stand, or is this more posturing? Or you think, because if you did that, that's like really throwing down the gauntlet. 30 seconds.
He holds them at risk, right? It's why we have naval and air forces out of Katina Air Force Base on Japanese islands, right up against Taiwan and China. We could put weapons there. We could hold them at risk. We could fly bombers and do subs in places where you never know where, you know, they might be threatened. Trump does that with information, and this law certainly gives it.
All right, hey, we'll be right back.
We are the Prepper Broadcasting Network.
Here at the Prepper Broadcasting Network, our mission has expanded, and we have decided to use our influence to aid in disaster recovery. PBN is offering up our airwaves to nonprofits and boots-on-the-ground organizations that are affecting disaster recovery. The real people out there rebuilding lives. From organizations that reestablish the supply chain to those who deliver aid and even organizations that rebuild shattered homes and lives. The future of disaster response does not lay in the hands of some government organizations. No, it's up to us, Disaster Coffee. It only makes sense that PBN would partner with Disaster Coffee. Disaster Coffee is selling outstanding coffee that is roasted to order and shipped right to your door. A portion of their profits will be directly donated to disaster recovery organizations like Grindstone Ministries, Healthcare Ready, and Citizens Assisting Citizens. Disaster Coffee sources top quality beans that are roasted to order. You get coffee at its very best, but you also make a difference with every purchase. Disaster Coffee offers every customer the ability to join the national disaster relief effort. Get yours at disastercoffee.com.
To oppose tyranny and fight for the rights our Creator bestowed us in the United States Constitution. We are the Prepper Broadcasting Network.
Okay, Colonel, now you got us all scared to death. What do you and the special forces think I ought to do about your psycho out there?
Let him go. To what?
For now. Defuse the whole situation. Defuse him. Provide a little gap and let him slip through it. Then put out a nationwide APB. In a couple of weeks, you'll pick him up in Seattle or someplace working in a car wash. There'll be no fight, and nobody else will get hurt.
I do my own work. I don't figure the best way to do that is to close my eyes and then hope he gets picked up in Seattle.
Well, if you send your people in there after him, they'll get killed.
You know, we're just a small hick town sheriff's department, Colonel, but we're expected to do our duty just like our heroes in the special forces.
In special forces, we teach our people to stay alive in the line of duty.
No shit. I never thought of that.
You want a war you can't win?
Are you telling me that 200 men against your boy is a no-win situation for us?
You send that many, don't forget one thing.
What?
A good supply of body bags.
Achieve situational awareness of multiple threat indicators in one view. Be prepared. FutureDanger.com.
Patriot Power Hour, episode 94, coming to a close. Finish strong in about 10 minutes till the Next Generation show comes up live. Part of the Double Barreled Shotgun Tuesdays. Actually, it's just Double Barreled Tuesday. Okay. I don't know. Loving it here on PBN, though. And so glad to be here on Tuesday night, sharing the space with Next Generation. So, real quick. I promised earlier, got to get into my three scenarios, and we'll bring Future Dan back in, get his thoughts. And I'm mostly looking at it from an economic point of view, and I'm mostly looking at it as it relates to COVID. So this isn't if a asteroid hits tomorrow or war with China breaks out in a month. I'm looking between now and the election. Let's just do 6 months. I wasn't going to necessarily bring it till November, but that's about 6-7 months from now. Let's just say, let's go for it. Best case scenario, COVID, quote unquote, disappears. I don't expect this to happen, but let's just say best case scenario, by July 1st, the entire United States, the entire world is open. COVID doesn't come back in September, October, November. Everyone's back to work. Everyone's putting in overtime. Everyone's booking hotel rooms. Everyone's getting to work. You know, all this lost time, we got to make up for it. Economic activity just roars back. We're still going to see a massive, massive hit from COVID, even in this best case scenario. We're talking, and these don't even sound like real numbers, but we're saying, I'm looking at $5 trillion in deficit spending and an additional $5 trillion in Federal Reserve stimulus. So $10 trillion in Fed and federal stimulus in the best case scenario. $10 trillion. That's, you know, pre-disaster, that's about 40 to 50% of our national debt right there. We've talked how much national debt is. Here's another way to put it. Very quickly, you can have 10 modern aircraft carriers for about $1 trillion. So we're talking about 100 modern aircraft carriers sunk. Does that put it into perspective? That's what $10 trillion is. 100 aircraft carriers, which is the most expensive military machine ever created. Okay. So think of it that way. And all the planes and personnel, by the way. That's the best case scenario. Kind of mid case with more of what I'm looking at here. Maybe $15 trillion. And that's if states in the world don't open up very quickly this summer and or there's a wave two that's equal or less than what we've experienced this spring and late winter. But we're still going to look, you know, with that, we're looking more at, again, $15 to $20 trillion. So that's doubling our national debt. What am I saying? This is our fuel we're kind of using up here. This is our emergency reserves. And that's just the national debt. Think about all the household debt, people underwater that are using credit cards to survive, et cetera, et cetera. Unbelievable. And now I'm not going to go to the worst case scenario, but this is not, you know, a 5% likelihood, 10% likelihood. The worst case scenario, quote unquote, worst, maybe more of a 25, 30 100% scenario the way I'm looking at it now. And that's if we see a massive kind of reinfection, say September, October, heading into the election and even beyond into the winter and early spring next year. If we see a second wave that's equal or worse, and we see even more shutdowns and more layoffs, we're going to be looking at 30 plus trillion. We're talking 300 aircraft carriers. It's hard to explain. Actually, I was wrong. When I said 100 aircraft carriers, I missed a zero. It's actually 1,000. Anyway, I'm being a little silly. Let me bring on future Dan. But I'm telling you here, those are my scenarios. We're looking at either 10 trillion, 20 trillion, or 30 plus trillion. That's a lot of money right there. What is the meaning of money is going to be the question. What do you think, future Dan?
I think that was an awesome analysis. Can I parallel it with the actual health projections that I have in mind?
Absolutely.
Yeah, so we're at 56,000 tonight or so. And the president's talking less than 100,000. And that would probably be in the best case scenario range. And then, of course, how you measure the deaths is probably going to get more accurate, you would hope, because there'll be autopsies. That'll indicate whether the person had it, and then they'll have to decide if it contributed to their death, which is a very scary part of this. You may catch it. It may do you in later. We don't know. So the middle road could be hundreds of thousands, up to millions, and definitely tens of millions worldwide loss just from this disease, which might have leaked from a communist lab, by the way.
Yeah.
And then the worst case scenario into November is the reinfections that you talked about. And if we start seeing, something similar to the Spanish flu 100 years ago, those kinds of numbers in the United States today, proportionately, would mean nothing's ever the same again economically, ever, ever. Whatever we had was gone. Welcome to the reset.
Yeah, welcome to the reset. Is this the beta phase or the true reset? It doesn't matter in the end because the reset is here. It was mathematically impossible not to have a reset long ago, but this has just really accelerated it. And here's the final math. I kind of messed it up. Let's refocus. A brand new aircraft carrier, about $8 billion. Let's just round up to $10 billion. Okay? So 10 aircraft carriers is $100 billion. So $1 trillion is 100 aircraft carriers sunk. So that's $1 trillion. 100 aircraft carriers sunk. I think there's only like 10 in the fleet, really, so it's not even realistic. But it's like our entire aircraft carrier fleet being sunk 10 times is $1 trillion. That's a mind blown for me. I want to pass to you. I've been talking a lot. We got a minute left. Have at it.
So that Fed facility, Ben, that we talked about last segment, that is authorized to buy 7,500 aircraft carriers worth of corporate debt. 7,500 of them.
No, it's ridiculous. No, I felt like that was the exact math, but it was more like 100. I think that was about 100 because it was $750 billion, if I recall. And that's about 100 aircraft carriers, if my math. Sorry, I'm really bad at doing math on air, even though I have a master's in finance. I'm actually good at math, but not on air. But I'm telling you, we're talking hundreds of aircraft carriers suck here, people, let alone the other effects. Future Dan, we are
somebody needs to do in terms of like space shuttles or something.
I'm going to do
something more expensive.
I wrote about this back in the day during quantitative easing 3, and I did this darn equation. I need to go back and get those figures. But
maybe a listener can come up with a good example of a very expensive technology system and
yes,
equate it to what we've seen to win a prize.
Perfect. I love it. We did not plan this. That's how you're going to get a prize next week, folks. Next week, episode 95 of the Patriot Power Hour, we're going to officially announce how to enter the contest. But I want creative ways of how this debt, how to turn this debt into reality. Exactly. So anyway, for Future Dan, for Patriot Power Hour, I'm out of here, guys. Stick with us. Next Generation. We'll see you guys next week on the PPH.